Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking, and if it is the fourth Tuesday, and I believe, Tommy Boy, it is the fourth Tuesday from 2 to 3, it's Profit Player starring Scotty Sachs, who will be a little delayed from San Diego. So you and I, Tommy, are going to talk about some interesting topics.
Tommy Boy here, and a good Tuesday to you, Dave Isaac.
Oh, well, thanks. And wow, you have such a great voice. How do you
Oh, I just put it on for you.
Really? You mean it's like makeup and you just put it on in the mornings or something?
Yeah, I guess you have to have a mirror for it too, don't you?
Only if you see if you're still breathing, it'll fog up the mirror.
That's it.
I saw that fog effect on the Titanic.
How so?
Well, remember when Leonardo and that girl went into that old antique car?
Yes. Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's remember
just from watching the movies, of course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. You remember the teenage years, right?
People have told me about them.
Yes. Sometimes the police come along and they do a fogalizer.
Mm-hmm.
What's a fogalizer?
It's like knocking on the window. Are you still alive in there?
I think you're right. So anyway, Scotty should be calling in probably in about 15 or 20 minutes or so. And that's Profit Player, all about marketing. Boy, companies need to know how to market these days. Wouldn't you agree, Tom? That's a critical element in business.
For best results, I would say.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So I think what we're going to do is talk a little bit neuro-linguistic programming and a seminar I actually do, Tommy. I don't think you've seen this before. It's called The Belief Systems of the Wealthy. That may get people's attention real quick, The Belief Systems of the Wealthy.
Well, in our planning meeting for the program today, you mentioned that topic, and I must say, you don't hear that on any other talk radio.
No.
You don't hear that topic.
No, it's the doom and gloom of the people.
Yes.
Yeah, and if you go doom and gloom, well, I don't think you're going to be wealthy. But what's interesting is, you know, people think wealth. Well, let me ask you this, and I'll tell you what other people think of that. When I mention the word wealth or becoming wealthy, what's the first thing that pops into your mind?
Money.
Yeah, I think that's what most people think. Somehow they think it's money. But the truth is, it's a wealthy mindset. That's the first foundation to attract many things in your life. And it's not just about money, but it's about, you know, the wealth of happiness, the wealth of peace and contentment, the wealth of financial security. And I think that most people will think of money first. They're focusing really on the wrong thing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because of the way the system is, and you know, you got to make this much a year. You got your budgets, and you've got revenue, income, outgo, and that kind of thing. And I do have opinions on this.
Yes, you do, and I like it. I think that's really good. So from part of the seminar I give, Belief Systems of the Wealthy, and if you. I'm trying to think when I'm going to give the next one. It's probably going to be in a couple months or so, The Belief Systems of the Wealthy. And I guess they can go to breakradioshow.com. I think, I should give my email out. It's dave@breakradioshow.com. And people can inquire if they're so interested. That's dave@breakradioshow.com. And just drop me a note if you're interested in the seminar. But, you know, there's certain wealth principles from people that are actually have a wealthy mindset. And I thought we'd go over this until Scotty Sachs calls
okay.
from Profit Player.
Okay.
And I think it would be interesting. Now, some of the wealth principles, the first one is your income can grow only to the extent you do.
Right.
You like that?
Right. Okay, so it's not finite. It's infinite.
Yeah, it's income grows to the extent you do, which means are you increasing your own value? Are you exploring and enhancing your full potential? You're reaching your full potential. And most people sort of get stuck in their own comfort zone, and they're limited by their self-imposed limitations. So one of the things is stop chasing money, but increase who you are. I mean, maximize or optimize or really look at what your full potential is and grow, you know, learn new things, change your belief systems, those type of things to become empowered.
Sometimes you hear that do what you love and the money will follow. Is that kind of in that way, that line of thinking?
Absolutely. Very good point. And find your passion. So your income can grow only to the extent you do. Now, the problem, I think, a lot of people look at this and go, oh, it's going to take too long. But, you know, impatience is not always the best quality. So be patient with yourself. I mean, look, I tell people when they comment like that, I say, well, when you go to college, you can't get a degree the first day. It takes, you know, a good 4 years. So pace yourself. But same thing with money. You got to pace yourself. Don't look for the quick fix, the quick lottery. You know, I mean, people do win it, but in the meantime, people are growing old and go, wow, I never won the lottery. And that's usually what people are going to say. Now, here's another one. Money is a result. This is a good one. Money is a result. Being wealthy is a result. Health is a result. Illness is a result. Your happiness is a result. So we live in a world of cause and effect. So things don't happen to you. There's always a cause and effect. You know, what caused this situation in your life? Most people's life is just a combination of all their cumulative decisions, and their decisions are based on their beliefs about what's possible, about their skill sets, about what they think they can do. So if your life is a combination of decisions you've made, maybe it's time to make better decisions.
So you're kind of saying that, well, let me ask you this. My opinion would be what you just said, that effect, is that the word you used?
Cause and effect.
And I would say a good synonym for that would be a symptom. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And I talk about that, too, in some of my classes and courses where you can look at your life outwardly as a big TV screen. So your life, if it's a big TV screen, that external part of your life, that's representing your innermost thoughts and feelings because it's projected out from inward to outward. So whatever you see is really, if you really want to understand how the unconscious mind works and how your life is created, it's from really some of your unconscious thoughts, your belief systems about what's possible, what's real, what's you've heard reality is perception. Well, how do you change reality? By changing your perception. I mean, it's actually fairly easy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But people are locked in to what they believe is the right way, and that's always usually based on limited thinking. And that's it's sort of sad. And some more more principles. Rich people believe I create my life. Poor people believe life happens to me. That's sort of interesting.
And, you know, I was talking about opinions. Another, you just made me think of this. There might be some similarities there in the mindset between the two. You could get trapped either way, maybe. You could get trapped in success, or you could get trapped in, I don't want to deal with this system, so I'll just live homeless by choice.
Yeah.
You know, people actually, I'm sure, get that way.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. If it's by choice, it's okay. The question is, and I had this discussion just the other day, I forgot with who, but it's a fine line whether it's choice or out of fear. So in other words, if you believe, you know, people say, well, I choose, like, you know, like, let's say women or men in the dating scene. They've been burned enough, and they go, well, I'm not going to ever go out with another person, or I'm never going to marry again. Now, is that by freedom choice, or is that because they have so much fear of pain, of rejection, that they choose just to stay away mm-hmm. from what might cause the rejection?
Right, the repetitive, whatever they're telling their subconscious over and over again, they start to buy it.
Well, they absolutely start to buy it. So choice is when you can have either one, and you choose whatever one you want. What appears to be choice is not choice if fear prevents you from making a choice on one end, but you say, well, I'm just going to choose this, but not knowing it's the fear. And so many people do this where they think they're making a choice, but it's really because deep down they don't think they're capable of another choice.
All right. So what do you do about that fear?
Well, you know, it's interesting is that's where you start exploring what really drives behavior. And what really drives behavior are your unconscious beliefs, the beliefs about the world, the beliefs about various things, what causes certain things, the beliefs especially about yourself. I mean, do you believe you're capable of doing something, you know, of excelling, of having a better life? Do you believe that the economy really creates your destiny, or do you believe you create your destiny? Do you believe that you can learn certain things? And if you don't, if you have disempowering beliefs that, no, I don't have time, I don't have money, I'll never be more than I am right now, and some people believe that, then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's what happens with so many people. And it's a trap because it's an unconscious, it's really at an unconscious level, so people don't visibly see it. They just think, hey, this is the way it is. I'm going to live this way. I'm going to die this way.
So the key is to somehow change that, change your thinking?
They got to change the thinking. You got to realize that, wait a minute, there's more than meets the eye. And I've always said this on many shows, that, you know, the three levels of thinking. I know what I know. So most people play in the first level. I know what I know. So, you know, for example, I know my name is Dave. You know, I know pretty much the sun will come up tomorrow. And so you just play at a very simple level, knowing what you know. The second level, I know what I don't know. Well, the example I use is I know I have a car and an engine, but if the engine doesn't seem to work, I know what I don't know. I don't know how to fix it, but I know someone that does. So that's the second level. But still, it's very limiting. It's a trap in that it keeps you within your self-imposed limitations. It keeps you in the habits that you've had. And if you're doing the same thing over and over again, you know, different results are not going to happen. You're going to get the same results. The third level is where people should play, is I know that I don't know what I don't know. Think about that. It's a little confusing at first. I know that I don't know what I don't know. Meaning, if you think about that, you know there's something greater and more out there. It's just because you don't see it doesn't mean you can't play in it. And most people just don't even know how to tap into the third level of thinking. But it's by personal growth. I mean, look, people have grown for 20 years. I mean, from high school to now, if you look at it, or from elementary to high school, depending on your age, is that, you know, you've learned a lot. Have you ever had an aha moment where, wow, I didn't even know that thing existed? That's really cool. You know, so if someone, you know, 100 years ago, could they ever imagine the internet or an iPhone? They go, wow, it's out of their consciousness, in other words. It's like, how is that even possible? But there are people that play in the third level of thinking, and they're always thinking way above what's possible. Because what's possible for one is impossible for someone else, but based on perception. So if it's possible for someone, it's possible for everyone, you know, generally speaking. Now, so the key is to learn ways to see where you are sabotaging yourself, or I think all wounds are self-inflicted. So meaning all things that happen to you is probably a result of certain things you've made decisions.
Well, we play
on
a part in our problems.
Well, exactly. So neurolinguistic programming, I think, is one of the better tools to get to the unconscious mind to really understand the limitations that disguising you from going ahead. So, and those limitations are various filters, like we talked about, beliefs, maybe certain values, maybe your identity. Like, how about low self-esteem? I mean, you've seen that, Tom, in other people, where if you have low self-esteem, maybe you won't even try to do anything.
Right, for when fear confidence is really needed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a commercial. But I don't know.
What are we selling here?
Yeah, exactly. So that's real important. And most people may think it's intellectually interesting. It does take some effort. Someday, someplace, people might want to start to do this. Other people just thrive on this stuff, and they can't wait to continue to grow, to continue to evolve, to continue to be the best. And I always tell people, if you don't want to do it for you, do it for your kids, because your kids are going to model you. So if you don't want to grow, if you don't want to evolve and become your best, well, then do it for someone else. Do it for your kids. Do it for your neighbors. And that will set the example. Sometimes that's just the very thing that will motivate people. So it is a very interesting set of circumstances that people do have a choice. And if you tie into the doom and gloom and watch who you hang around with, because usually you hang around with the same people of doom and gloom or of excitement and passion.
We were just talking about that the other day. Attitude?
Yeah, we were.
Good attitudes and bad attitudes,
weren't
we?
Yeah, it's true. So now another principle, we talked about one of them, rich people believe I create my life, poor people believe life happens to me. The other one related to that is rich people play the money game to win, poor people play the money game not to lose. Not to lose. It's different. It sends a different signal to your mind if you play to win versus playing not to lose.
Could we go back to the first one you said, rich people
believe I create my life.
And poor people believe life happens to me.
Yeah.
Is there a little bit of truth to each of those?
Well, I think it depends on your perception. There's truth that it does happen and that people believe each side of those. But you're probably asking, can you believe both at once, perhaps? Or does it happen? But if you believe that it's your internal thoughts and feelings and how you process the data that's coming at you, then you have a greater chance to be wealthy in not just money, not just finances, but happiness, because it's how you interpret the events is also a state of wealth. People think something bad happens and you have to feel bad. The thing is you could... Something bad can happen, but we're just sort of indoctrinated to feel that way. But who says you have to feel that way? Maybe you could see it from a different point of view.
Okay, your feelings aren't facts.
Yeah, your feelings are just reactions based on past history. So if someone gets fired from a job, you could take it as a disaster, right?
Yeah, or as a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, or a blessing. Yeah. So, but you have to consciously use some tools to do that. So it's the third level of thinking. It's also called reframing. So if someone loses their job and initially they go, oh, my gosh, how am I going to live? See, that might be their first reaction, the question, how am I going to live, versus, wow, how is this an opportunity? In other words, you force yourself to look at a different perspective of this. How could this be the best opportunity ever versus how am I going to live? The quality of the question dictates the quality of the answers.
Now on to the next part. You said life either happens to me or I create my wealth. And what's the alternative you said?
One is poor people believe life happens to me. And what they do is it's a victim mentality. Something, and it immobilizes them. They don't think they have power. So it's not the fact, and some listeners may now say, well, no, this really did happen to me. I'm not saying it doesn't. I'm just saying how you interpret that is the key. Mm-hmm. The key.
And then on the wealthy side, what's the thought?
Rich people believe I create my life.
Okay. And then you went on to say that it could be this or should be this, and I interrupted you.
Oh, you did? Now I'm trying to wonder what I said. The key is in the interpretation of whatever happens. Because do you want to be in an empowering state of mind or disempowering? That's the bottom line. And if you believe what happens to you is negative, you might be in a disempowering state of mind, and try when you're in panic mode or anger mode to be fully effective. You're usually not. But if you interpret it, like I said, as how can this be a blessing in disguise, like you said, or how can this be the greatest opportunity, it gears your mind for possibilities, openness, empowerment. So it's not that hard to do, but it does take some practice because most people feel they're victims of their circumstances. And if you feel that way, that's a mindset, it's a belief system, it's an identity level. You may not have the skill sets to get out of that, but you can learn skills in a way to evolve and grow beyond that. And once people learn that, really life changes. Is it perfect? No. Will things still happen to you? Yes, but you're going to be empowered enough to get past it rather than having it stop you. And I think that's important. I always say to people that the goal is not to eliminate the storms of life. Most people think, oh, only if I didn't have these storms in my life, these events in my life. The goal is to build a stronger ship to withstand the storms. So I think if you just accept the fact, hey, there's going to be storms, What are you going to do about it? Are you going to just stay on the beach without an umbrella or without a ship? Build a strong ship. That's building yourself. And then the storms will feel less and less powerful.
I once heard a motivational speaker say something, and you hear a lot of people say, I think it's a spiritual concept or a truth or something. It's not what happens to you. It's how you react to it.
Yeah, that's the interpretation part we're talking about. And it's a very important skill set called reframing, content or context reframing. And you simply say, what else could this mean? So when you have an initial reaction to something that happens to you, your initial reaction is whatever it is, and often it's negative. Could you say, what else could this mean, though, you know, in an empowering way? So an example you can use, like, oh, I just had to pay, you know, let's say, you know, $10,000 in income taxes. And you look at that, oh, shoot, you know, that's bad. You know, I have to pay now. I'm $10,000, have less than, you know, less money than I did, you know, the other day. Or you could say, wow, that must mean I did really well. And I'm looking forward to do better. So, in other words, it's what you say to yourself, how you react to certain things. So wealthy people seem to have the skill set, that's number one, and the belief they can usually manage things that are thrown at them. So being able to manage your life is an important skill set and an important belief system. So a lot of people, they won't even negotiate certain things. Like they'll say, well, that just can't happen. You know, now my life is gone. You know, you ask for a raise or you didn't get a raise and they accept it. Versus, wait a minute, maybe you can negotiate it. You know, maybe there's other ways to move up the ladder. But people, if you don't have the skill set and which leads to confidence, because if you don't know how to do that, you may not have the confidence. Or even worse, you have the confidence but not the skill set and you really mess it up. Confidence is important.
Oh, yes.
But skill set is equally important. So confidence without skills could be a problem. Did you know that?
Confidence, and say it again.
Confidence without skills could be a real problem.
Yes, I believe you.
Have confidence. People that have confidence to fly in an airplane, they say, well, I had a few lessons. I have the confidence to do it. Would you fly with them if they don't have the skills?
No.
Yeah, exactly. So confidence by and in itself is not a good thing unless you have skill sets, because it could be actually very dangerous.
And I guess skill sets without the confidence, that wouldn't quite work either, would it?
Yeah, and that's really what we're talking about. And that's true, too. You're right. That's opposite. You could have skill sets but not utilize it because...
Yeah, I know people like that, come to think of it.
I do, too. And it's a very sad event because then they have skills all their life but were afraid to utilize it, and their whole life is, not as meaningful, perhaps, as it could have been. And if you look at people with skills and passion... really, if they viewed it as a gift to give to others rather than the fear to inhibit themselves, their behaviors would be way different. So anyway, I'll give a few more and then we'll take a quick break. But another one is rich people are committed to being rich. Poor people want to be rich. There's a difference. Rich people are committed to being rich. Poor people want to be rich.
I think this is where you were going when I interrupted you.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
So I think it's interesting that it's the commitment level. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go back to school? Are you willing to delay gratification? You know, everything's immediate gratification, but really put the work in. Put the work in not only on skill sets, but your inner thoughts and
feelings. What action are you willing to take?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. Rich people think big. Poor people think small. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, what's wrong with being poor? Well, there's nothing if you have choice. If you choose to be poor, it's good. But don't choose it because you don't think you can be rich. Because if you were rich, and that doesn't mean a bad thing, it just means you may have more money to give to charities and give to other people. It doesn't mean the typical stereotype rich person, Mitt Romney. No, I won't say Mitt Romney. But the whole point is that it's not a bad thing in and of itself. It's what you do. With the money, do you help people or does it create more stress for you? Is it a security blanket or is it just something that circulates and flows through you?
Mm-hmm.
It's really how you think.
Is money something that happened to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I think they've done studies. People that won the lottery, And about 3 years later, they not only
can't handle it,
they don't have it anymore. They're worse off.
Mm-hmm.
It's a consciousness, and it's sort of interesting to look at it that way. Now, let's see, a couple other interesting ones. Rich people choose to get paid based on results. Poor people choose to get paid based on time.
Hmm.
That's an interesting one, right? Results-oriented, because they have the confidence, like we talked about, and the skill set
mm-hmm.
to create results.
Oh, my dad, he trained salesmen on straight commission for
really?
Years and years and years, and he talked a lot about that.
He did?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a big
That's
fan.
Why I worked hourly for so many years.
Oh, man. Well, I think, I'm a big fan of performance-based compensation. The sky's the limit, but also it relies on your confidence and skills. Most people, if you have a salesperson that wants a security-based compensation, well, you're not going to get the most out of them. I mean, they're not going to exceed or excel. But just trying being commission only or low base, but performance-based, the true great salespeople will take that in a second
because
mm-hmm. there's no limit. So I think that's pretty interesting. So let's see. Let's do a few more, then we'll go on a break. And I think by that time, Scotty will call in. If not, we'll continue this interesting belief systems of the wealth. Belief systems of the wealthy, actually, I should say, and which is a seminar that I do. Probably in a few months, I'll be doing one of these. Let's see some others. Rich. This is a good one. Rich people focus on their net worth. Poor people focus on their working income. Most people, it's paycheck to paycheck. But try focusing on net worth. How do you build that up? And of course, think about it. Net worth. Well, from a financial aspect, net worth is certainly your assets less your liabilities. And, what equity do you have? But net worth also can mean from just an evolution standpoint is what's your worth within yourself? And I think that's always the key, not just the finances. This is always the key. You agree?
Yes, I do. It reminds me of a nonprofit setup to where volunteered hours are assets, Those aren't dollars, but they're assets in certain, guidelines.
Yeah. Now, you're going to like this one, and then we'll go on a break. Rich people manage their money well. Poor people mismanage their money well. Right?
Yeah, and I won't tell you where I've been most of my life.
Well, most people, they just, they do what they do. They do what they know, and they don't play in the third level of thinking. And it's really not that hard.
Give me that third level of thinking again.
I know that I don't know what I don't know. So if you don't know how to manage money, learn. Don't do it the same way. That doesn't work. Like, forget to put it in your checkbook or, keep a record of some basic accounting stuff. But I think that's really important to understand that and start playing in the third level of thinking. And the bottom line is if you want to change your life, you got to change you. Don't wait for someone to do something. And it's like in relationships too, right? Always pointing at the spouse. Oh, it's your fault.
Yeah, blame.
Yep. Oh, change you first. I mean, it's craziness, but people...
Not seeing your own part.
Yeah, and it's very sad when that happens. I think people intellectually know this, but either based on ego or fear of thinking they're not as good as they think they are, which I guess is ego, is that's what drives behavior. So it's actually simpler when people view it this way. So why don't we take a quick break? We'll see if Scotty Sachs calls in. He may be at 2:30 in a minute. If not, we'll continue the belief systems of the wealthy, some interesting insights that really could change people's lives. We're here to help people enhance their lives.
You know, on that third level of thinking you gave me, I had an aha moment because of our conversation today.
You did? What was it?
I've set a new goal in life.
Which is?
The longer I'm around, the less I want to know.
Oh, wow. We're going to have to talk about that when you come back. And we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Lisa Masters, single mom to two amazing boys on the spectrum and author of The Funny Side of Autism. April 20th marks the first annual Time Went On for Autism benefit at the Compound Grill in Phoenix. It will be a fun night out to benefit the Autism Society Greater Phoenix Chapter. We have a wonderful evening planned, including dinner, entertainment, silent auctions, raffles, and a copy of my latest book, The Funny Side of Autism Around the World. For ticket info, go to the calendar tab at thecompoundgrill.com. Hope to see you there.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
Tax time is here again. Let Bierenbaum and Spiering relieve your burden and stress while we provide you with easy and sophisticated preparation on your tax return. Whether you are a business, such as a partnership or corporation, as well as an individual, state, or trust, we can help you with your tax return preparation in a way that allows you to feel safe and secure. Bierenbaum and Spiering has experienced, knowledgeable, and personable CPAs and staff, and look forward to helping you. Please call 602-266-5633 and ask for Mitchell Spiering, CPA.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hershberger Assisted Living Home for the Elderly. Whether it's a need to recuperate after surgery or just need daily assistance to enrich their life, you can trust that your loved one is being well cared for. Our caregivers are fully licensed by the Arizona Department of Health. An experienced team of professionals provide expert medical care, including physical, occupational, and recreational therapy, wound care, medication management, nutritional support, and personal care. All faiths are welcome. Hershberger Assisted Living Home, founded in 1997, will provide your loved ones a quality of life with loving care. Call Shirley Hershberger today at 602-314-6937. That's 602-314-6937, or visit the website ahomewithshirley.com. Hershberger Assisted Living, home is where the heart is.
In today's environment, short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy seem to be the norm and not the exception. These events can be devastating emotionally as well as financially. But just when you thought it was over, you might start to wonder about the tax consequences of short sales, foreclosures, and bankruptcy. Tax law can be very complex, and it would be critical to understand the tax laws surrounding your situation. Call Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor, at 602-625-3074, 602-625-3074, to discuss your situation. He looks forward to talking with you.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches, 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
At Beerenbaum & Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.